dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, miss you with you. My heart won't let my feet do things they should do. I won't dance, why should I? I won't dance, how could I? I won't dance, merci beaucoup. I know that music leads the way to romance. So if you hold me in your arms, I won't dance.
Broadway icon Chita Rivera performs a one-night-only solo concert on Monday, July 9th, benefiting the Williamstown Theater Festival's new play and musical initiative. Chita will be accompanied by her longtime trio, the two-time Tony Award winner, last seen at WTF starring in The Visit and its subsequent Broadway transfer, will recreate moments from her legendary career, showcasing the artistry and history that has made her a star on the Great White Way and beyond. It is a great honor to welcome Chita Rivera back to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm absolutely terrific. And talking about honoring something, I am certainly honored to say anything about Williamstown, because Williamstown, first of all, is a wonderful city, and second of all, we had a glorious time when they welcomed us so beautifully with our new show, The Visit, a few years ago. We had a glorious time, and we were able to work in a space that was just perfect for and with enough time that was just perfect for creating new artistic theater, and very proud to work in Williamstown.
And it was a production that then went to Broadway. It was you, it was the late Roger Rees, and
yes,
it was a gorgeous production. So I assume you look back on that fondly.
Very much so.
And emotionally, I would assume.
Well, absolutely, both of those. You know, I actually say this in my show. You know, you really, you think after so many years of being blessed with so many phenomenal friends and so many wonderful experiences, and you always say to yourself, well, I really don't need any more friends. You know, I've really got enough. I just want to make sure that I cherish those that I've got, and I give them as much time, and yada, yada, yada. Well, I certainly learned my lesson there, because I didn't think I needed another friend, and along came Roger Rees. And I had been a fan for years, ever since I'd seen him in Nicholas. And also, he was at the Williamstown for quite a while. But anyhow, we'll go back to. And I suddenly fell madly in love with Roger, not only as an actor, but as a person. He was a great, great friend. So when his life was cut short there, not in Williamstown, but in New York,
right.
I felt as though I was cheated, you know, and it took me, you know, a while to kind of get over that. It took us all a while to get, you don't ever get over it, but so now, I don't say that anymore. I am so grateful that I had Roger, even for a short amount of time, you know. So, you're right. I have great, wonderful, wonderful memories and some sad ones.
So enjoy all the time there is. If you're his, be his. Make each day your own. When tomorrow's come and your heart is stone, what has made it numb? Love and love alone.
That was a fascinating show, because it was a Candor and Ebb musical that you had worked on prior, and
right,
and it finally came to fruition this time.
Absolutely. John Doyle and Graciela Danielle. And it was thrilling. Of course, Terrence McNally wrote the book, And it was, I have such beautiful pictures of all of us up there in Williamstown. We had a lot of fun, and we worked very, very hard. And the show really showed its potential. And we're not finished with the visit yet, so be prepared for another visit.
You received in June a special Tony Award for a lifetime achievement in the theater. What does that mean to you when you look back on your career?
Well, you know, I'm such a forward-looking, forward person. We never expect to be awarded anything, really. I mean, you just don't do your work that for that reason. You do it because you have to, because you're passionate about it, and because you want to say something, and you want that connection, that live connection with an audience. There's nothing like it. And then all of a sudden, you're given an enormous gift. I mean, it kind of stops you in your tracks, makes you kind of think about, not that you don't think all along, but it makes you kind of think, well, gosh, maybe there was something that was done. You know that there were amazing shows that you were in. You've read the reviews. You've lived through it. But when somebody, you know, gives you a little, just very pretty, attractive statue and says, you know, we congratulate you, you kind of stop and you're quite proud. You really are. It's very humbling. That's why I'm stammering so.
Well, you talk about being given a gift, but you look at your chronology and the shows that you were a part of. It seems that, as far as shows go, you were given many, many gifts. You started with Call Me Madam, and was your first national tour, and Guys and Dolls was the first Broadway show.
Yes, that's right, but not original.
Not original. You know,
I replaced the Anna White, who was a very successful and wonderful choreographer, and then it just went on from there with Can Can and Bye Bye Birdie and West Side Story and Spider-Woman. And, you know, I mean, I should really make a list up because I forget myself. you know, you don't stop and look back. I don't look back very often. I try desperately to be in the moment and look forward, you know, so I don't look back too often. But this stopped me dead in my tracks, and then standing next to Andrew Lloyd Webber was another moment where you go, wow, I'm in pretty swell company here. But I've been in swell company my entire life with the Leonard Bernsteins and the Arthur Lawrences and the Kandra Nebs and
right.
the Stephen Sondheim. I mean, it really kind of makes me chuckle because every once in a while I will say that one of my friends' names, because they were all friends, and I'll call them by their first name, and then realize, you idiot, that sounds absolutely pretentious. You better say the last name. So you know, it's funny. It's kind of funny. I like to laugh at most things, anyhow.
West Side Story, of course, is being performed all over this country this year because of the Bernstein Centennial. You were in the original cast, the original show.
That's right.
Puerto Rico, you ugly island, island of tropic diseases. Always the hurricanes blowing, always the population growing.
Not only was that an amazing time, but to meet these people and find out that they are really phenomenal people, Lenny was just a wonderful, wonderful human being with all that talent. And every time I hear that score, my skin goes up. I mean, I have no control over that at all.
One of the things I just in you talking, I wonder, so when in your life does Mr. Bernstein become Lenny?
Well, I mean, it come in rehearsals, and when he says, "Call me Lenny,"
simple as that.
It's just simple. Most things are simple, much simpler than what most people make them. But when he says that, and we were brought up to be extremely respectful anyhow, and but you know, they don't want to be called Mr. Bernstein generally, you know, Mr. Robbins. You're working very close, and it's a very intimate, extraordinary space that you're in during rehearsals. So you get to know each other quite well. But they never get off that pedestal. But they do let you call them Jerry and Arthur and Stephen. It's funny.
Chita Rivera is our guest. She is going to be performing a one-night-only performance for the Williamstown Theater Festival on the main stage at Williamstown on July 9th. What goes into a show like this? It's a little bit of everything.
Well, it is, and it's sharing. Hopefully, memories that they might have of whatever, you know, show that I might be singing or telling stories about. It's storytelling and singing and movement, and with these amazing musicians. Music is a phenomenal thing, and it can make you feel swell. And I feel as though I'm given the opportunity to share some of these wonderful stories with people that care. And so I'll do just that. It's difficult on one hand because there's so much that I've been given to do. And through the years, and I'm still alive, and so you know, I'm just doing it. You know, it's pretty easy when you've got material like Kander and Ebb have written, and all these great guys, Stephen Sondheim, and all of them.
When you see a show develop like Chicago, I mean, you were in Chicago in 1975.
Right.
And then that show comes back and it's revived and you see it grow. What is it like? And even West Side Story to that extent of how a show takes on a life of its own.
Well, grow. It changes. It changes. The show that's actually on Broadway is not the same show that Gwen and I did. It's a much smaller version, which shows. Which proves how wonderful the material is. And it's been stripped of, you know, sets and costumes. And we had an amazing staircase, two staircases on stage, and two huge turntables. And so they don't have that, but the material still works. And how does it feel as it changes? Was that the question?
That is part of the question. I'm interested how it feels when it changes, and how does it feel when you were, especially from the ground up, of seeing what a show becomes and how it becomes iconic and how people relate to it 5 decades later?
Well, if the material is there, if the story is there, then that's the most important part of it.
But nothing stays.
It's wonderful to see it. You have your preferences, but you know what you had, and times change. But as long as the story is the same and the score is the same, and nobody changes it, then I, you know, then I can enjoy it. And, you know, the casting has really got to be right, you know. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to see some things. And you have your opinion about it. But I know when I saw the movie of Chicago, I was really scared to death, but I was thrilled. I thought it was terrific. I thought Rob Marshall did a great job.
Beautiful.
And he was in the chorus of the Rink with Liza and myself. So it's nice to see your buddies advancing like that.
I ask this question not to be a troublemaker, just because I'm curious, but obviously you have an incredible list. There has to be a bad show in here, right? There has to be. There must have been a bad show.
Well, I really believe taking lemons and making lemonade. I swear to God, I seriously believe that. And really, no matter what show I've done, I've had a good time, but I did feel that 1491 that was done in California I didn't think that was going to make it to New York, and I was right. And I liked Zenda because I loved Alfred Drake, and to be on stage with an Alfred Drake was really fantastic, and he was great in the show. But I didn't think that was going to make it to New York, and it didn't. A bomb? I mean, really something that was nasty? I don't think I've done one of those. If not, if I have, I have a great ability to forget it.
And I ask the question because it must give you the experience, when you have that experience,
yes,
of when you're in something truly special, you know you're in something truly special.
Well, you know what? You're not quite sure. You know it feels good. You have to make it feel right. The choreographer will tell you in a minute. The director will tell you in a minute. That's right. That's wrong. It's very gratifying doing it within your own family, the cast. And then it's really up to you guys. It's up to whether or not you get up on the right side of the bed, you know. Timing is very important for everything, you know. I'm sure there's so many really amazing shows that went down the tubes. Well, The Visit should have lasted longer, but I'm sure there have been so many that have not made it because it wasn't the right time for it. And I'm sure you agree.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And timing is everything. But
you've
also, I would assume, can appreciate that you've had really good timing.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I believe in God. I mean, it's you can't figure it out. You just can't figure it out. Sometimes something is so strange, and you think it'll never work, but then you pop it into a certain time, and because it's so different, it's special. So you don't know. You just, and audiences, because tickets are very expensive, they have to listen to somebody that tells them, "Don't waste your money." You know, it's a vicious cycle. You know that.
Back to the Tonys this year. As you're sitting there and you're watching what's happening on that stage, and did you say you're a forward person? Do you like what you're seeing? Do you like the direction Broadway's going in?
I don't. Some of it I really don't understand. It's very, very different. I mean, I went through the wonderful, huge musicals with the 8 chorus dancers and 8 chorus singers, and then we went through the Irma Ledoux stage, you know, where it was a small musical, and that was wonderful. I mean, there's room for everything. I have not seen very much theater this year, and I have to tell you, I was sitting there trying to figure out some of it, and it's not fair to pass an opinion. I did with my daughter, but when you're looking at one number, what was that? You go, it's hard.
And again, it's the what the audience wants, and in what we would think of as the golden age of Broadway, where shows would go and then would become a film. Now it seems to be the opposite, where it's a film and then it becomes a Broadway musical,
which is really sad because where do our writers go?
Right,
they go to California. You know, and so I keep thinking about 42nd Street. Where is 42nd Street? That story, where you can come to New York and be a star out of the chorus. You know, be a star. That's really what's wrong today. I mean, it's just you look at television and everybody's a star. And what is a star? Anyhow.
Well, and I mean, not to, I'm in this, not to sound pandering, but I mean, you know, you're a star, right? I mean, you know, you're.
I've been around. I've experienced many, many things, and I know a lot more than the kids. That's why I like to talk to them, and you can tell the ones that are interested in the past, because you know there are a lot of kids that just don't care about the Jack Coles and the Bob Fosse's and all that. They just want it now. Yeah. And that's not going to make it. Don't get me started on that.
Well, I'll let you leave it up there on the stage for July 9th, 7:30, the main stage of the Williamstown Theater Festival. It's Chita Rivera performing a one-night-only solo concert on the main stage at Williamstown, benefiting the Williamstown Theater Festival's new play and musical initiative.
It's exciting. It's lovely to be asked back for this, and I'm really looking forward to it, and that's no lie. I really am very grateful because I have images in my head right now of what a wonderful experience that was. So I'm looking forward to being there.
I'm a great fan, and I love having the opportunity to speak to you again. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay.
Be
Bye-bye.
Well. Thank you. Chita Rivera performing at the Williamstown Theater Festival Monday, July 9th at 7:30. You can find out more by going to WTFestival.org. WTFestival.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Let me sing a funny song with crazy words that roll along. And if my song can start you laughing, if my song can start you crying, if my song can make you whole.